Does anyone remember how Revelation ended? Just a few things in the last chapter and the last two chapters. Well, I'll help you. It talked about they and them and there. And what it says is, and they shall walk in the light of it. And they shall bring their glory into it. And they shall see his face. And his servants shall serve him, worship him. And then it comes over to the end and it says, and the bride and the spirit say, come. And him that heareth, come. And he that is athirst, come. And drink of the water of life freely. Now, all the benefits were to they and them and there. Because it says, and his name shall be in their forehead. So it appears to me that the next question would be, how do I get to be a they, a them, or a there? Because they're the ones that enjoy it. And it says that they whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, it's always been, for as long as I can remember, my way of doing things is to follow Revelation with how to become a they, a them, or a there. Because that's all it counts. We know what happens to the non-theys, thems, and theirs. And we know what happens to these. They are called the blessed. So it would behoove each individual, and that's how this works, folks. It would behoove each individual, as Paul said in Corinthians, to examine themselves, that you be in the faith. Know ye not that Christ dwelleth in you, except you be a reprobate? It would behoove every individual to first of all make sure their name is in the Lamb's book of life. It would behoove every individual to make sure that they are saved, because it says, and the saved shall walk in the light of it. Talking about the New Jerusalem. Well, the New Jerusalem is an attachment to heaven, folks. A New Jerusalem is an attachment to eternal life. And if you ain't seeing the new city, and if you're not walking in the new city, you ain't saved. Your name's not in the book. So I thought what we would do is go to a book, because you need a book, right? I mean, you know, if you're going to cook, you need a cookbook. If you're going to exercise, you need an exercise book. If you're going to buy a camper, you need a camper book. A book simply means information on how to achieve what you're trying to do. Cook, exercise, or buy a camper. Now, I don't need your book on campers. I'm not going camping. I don't like bugs. I don't like the outside at night. So don't bring me your book on campers. I need your book on exercising. I need your book on cooking. Because I need to watch how I eat. But other than that, I don't need your book. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a book?
We do.
Oh, since we do, and since you spoke up, okay. I'll come over here to you. Where's the book? Now, I'm talking about a specific book. Well, I'm talking about a specific book to tell me how to become a they, them, or their. Huh? He says Romans. What do you say, Babel? I don't think that's a book. Oh, the Bible. Well, the Bible's all 66 of the books. I mean, we got to narrow it down a little bit, right? You know, this man's a genius. Romans. Romans is the book that tells, now all of them tell you, you know, the epistles tell you, well, no, you see, you, I tell you. The epistles tell you, after you're saved, how you should be living. You know, they're sort of examination books. Romans is very specific in this book. It tells you about salvation. Because, remember, and the saved shall walk in the light of it. So it would behoove everyone to examine themselves and know beyond any doubt in their mind or heart that they're saved. Because if you're not, you need not apply for heaven. You won't be there. So, with that being said, turn to Psalms. Well, you didn't think I was just going to jump into Romans, did you? Now, chapter 1. All right. Now, the very first word gives you one of the threads that I've told you about forever, and that is blessing. So here's what he says. Blessed is the man. Notice the definite article. Not all men now. Folks, not all people are blessed. I can tell you that. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Now, I'm going to leave out the not there, okay? I'm going to read to you again. Blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the godly. Because, see, if I take out the not, I can take out the un, too. Un means not godly. So, if you are godly and you walk godly, you're blessed. You see how it works? All right. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way. Now, I want you to file that. Because the word way there means several things. It can mean a journey. It can mean progress. Or it can mean direction. Or it can mean a road. Now, we get on a road to do what? To travel to a destination. You see, the road's going to end somewhere, folks. We're all on the road. When you're born, you're on the road. Now, the problem is, at some point in your life, you realize you're a sinner, and now you're on the wrong road. Wrong road. Because he says there is a way, there is a road that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death and destruction. So that would tell me I got to get off this road. Okay, I'll give you a good. I went down to South Carolina with a friend of mine, and we were going to this place where we'd never been, you know, and we turned into the entrance of this place, and But we're looking for a certain, we're looking for the clubhouse. If y'all play golf, you know, the clubhouse where you go to sign up to play golf. So we go through this big, you know, gate, you know. So we're driving, and we're just driving. And I said, Duke, I believe we're on the wrong road. So we called the guy that invited us down. He said, oh, no, it's the first road to your right, right after you come through the gate, you got to turn right. Well, we've been driving for 15 minutes around back in there, and these little places. We were on the, so what did we do? Folks, that's repentance. Otherwise, we're still over there driving around, brother.
That's right.
On the way that we think is right, but we're never going to get to our destination. You got to get on the right road. You got to be progressing in the right direction. Your journey must have the right destination. Otherwise, you're on the wrong road. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, whose delight? The blessed man. His delight is in the, now I'm going to read this to you differently so that you understand what's saying. But his delight is in the word of the Lord. What God says is his delight. Well, what was the first thing you had to come to the knowledge of to know that God was right and he was wrong? God says every man hath sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you don't start there, you will never find delight in the Word of God. That's your starting point. That's where you realize you're driving around. You know, you're on the wrong road. Okay, I was getting. I knew you would. You're a sharp bunch, I can tell you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his word doth he meditate day and night. Now, does that mean that Jimmy, since you've been looking at me, I'm going to come to you. Does that mean that from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, you sit in a chair and read in that book? Jimmy, that was a question, and you should have already answered. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science thing to answer that question, Jimmy. Is that what that means? That you get up of a morning, get your coffee if you drink it, not if you don't, sit in that chair with that book open, reading all day long till nighttime, and then go to bed and get up next day and get in that chair and read that book again. Is that what that means?
In your heart.
Now what? I didn't say anything about a heart, Jimmy. I said meditate. That's your mind. Okay. You can't meditate on something you don't know. You have to get up of a morning and apply yourself to the Word, so that during the day, you can meditate on the Word, and the Word will help you on the road. Because remember what he said in Psalms 119? He says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, let's stop right there. A lamp. I'll go over here. Lens on one, paying any attention. I can see. A lamp. You don't get a lamp out to shine to that wall, do you? No, a lamp is right here. He says, it's a lamp unto my feet, but it's a light unto my path. It doesn't just show me where I'm at right here. It's a light in that whole path up. Why? So that I can stay on it. I mean, if all I can see is right here, once I get past here, I'm in trouble, right? I could get on the wrong road. But he says, if you'll just get my word. And he says, if you're blessed, you will. He's not asking you, he's not saying you should. He's saying, if you're blessed, you delight in my word. And you meditate on it day and night. You know what that means, Bill? Here's what that means. And I know that little lady sitting beside you means the world to you. But that word means more to you than she does, and vice versa. Because she can't light your path, and she can't get you to the right destination. I don't mean to point at you. It's my way of doing things. She can't do that for you. She loves you to death, but she can't do that for you. Vice versa. You can't do that for her. That's why that's more important than anything. You can't reach your destination with your spouse, folks. Look, now my wife, well, I shouldn't have said that because, you know, when we're on a trip, she's all the time telling me I'm going wrong. But that's not what I'm talking about. We were coming back on the trip, and he's older than I am, my friend. He drives like a wild man. He kept saying, "You sound just like Maggie." That's his wife. So anyway, all right, let me get back now. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall..." There's no wiggle room there. He says, if you are blessed, that his word is your delight, and you meditate day and night, and you're going to bring forth fruit, and your leaves will not wither. Not because of you or not because of me, because of him. See, religion can't do that for you. You can be a Free Will Baptist. You can be a Baptist. You can be a Methodist. You can be a Presbyterian. You can be a Pentecostal. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be a non-denominational. But that won't do this for you. He nowhere in here talks about any of that. It's his word. It's his word. And we better adhere to it. I realize it's getting more and more difficult to stay with it. I get that. I do. Because more and more people are going away from it. But we better be like Joshua. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Now, what does it mean to serve the Lord? It means that you delight in his word day and night. It's everything to you. I got to tell you, folks, and look, sometimes I act like a plum fool. I'll share that with you. I'm probably the only one in here that does. You know, sometimes I lose my temper. Sometimes I shoot my mouth off. Sometimes I do things.
I'm there with you, brother.
But you know what? Since February 1982, I've had something inside me, Jimmy, that causes me to love that word more than anything in my life, and to desire it, and to desire to want to live to it. And when I do those stupid fleshly things, the Spirit that gave me the word pounds me and says, hey, that's not who you are. What's wrong with you? Folks, that's what it's talking about. That's why you're blessed. You're not blessed because of who you are. You're blessed because of who you got. And you're blessed because you're in the way, the right way. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Bless God, that's good. Now, he says, the ungodly are not... You know, I'm just no boy from Irwin, Tennessee boy. I don't have a lot of education. But there's no one that can't understand what that just said. That ain't so for them. They can act like it's so. They can hope it's so, but it's not so. Because God says it's not so. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand. Now let me ask you this. Are you going to stand in the judgment? What'd you say? You're ungodly?
No. Okay.
You see, what that's saying is this. everyone's going to stand in judgment. We've all got a date with the judge. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, judgment. You say, well, I thought Romans 8:1 says, I'm in Romans now. I thought Romans 8:1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation, which means judgment. There is therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's the difference? That's a question. In case anybody wants to say, I'll try. Oh, I knew you'd help me, Lynn. There's just a helping spirit about you. Right. You want to help. You remember my little illustration a while ago about me driving around back in there and realizing I'm on the wrong. No, we're in the car, Lynn. We're not on the course yet. Crying out loud. We ain't got to the course because we lost our way. But we're driving around back there. And we find out that we're on the wrong road. What do we do? That's judgment, Lynn. That's judgment. You see, what that means is, I'll help you because you're looking at me and you want me to do better too, don't you? What that means is you would rather be judged here than there. You're going to be judged. But you see, if you come to Him here, He will judge you. He'll judge you lost. That's right. He'll judge you a sinner. But you know what the Bible says He'll do? Oh, glory, this is good. He don't parole you. He don't lighten your sentence. He pardons you. You know what He does? He says, hey, I'm glad you came to me. I've already met that judgment for you. At Calvary, judged everyone at Calvary. I paid the sin of everyone. That's why my Father turned His back on me, is because I took the sin of the whole world on me. John says, He is the propitiation for my sin. That means covering. He's the covering for my sin. But He don't stop there. And I wouldn't stop there. He says, but not for me only, but for the whole world. But if you don't come to If you keep driving around back there thinking, well, I'll find it eventually. You know what's going to happen? You're going to die. Because it's appointed to everyone to die. And then you're going to stand in front of Him. And then it's going to be too late. Because then you have to pay for it. See, it's going to get paid. You know, Henry's trying to help me, I know. It's sort of like this, Henry. Hypothetically, you owe the bank $20,000. Well, the bank can't just forgive you unless you're a student and the government forgives you. Never have understood that. My wife went to school and I went to school and I paid every dime she borrowed. Now we've got to pay somebody else, but I digress. That has to be paid, see. But let's say you die. Henry says, well, I got out of that. Oh, no. About a month later, little Becky opens the door. You know who's standing there, Henry? The bank. Wanting that money. It's going to be paid, Henry. Wouldn't it have been better if you'd have paid it before you died? Then little Becky wouldn't have got the knock on the door. It's better to get judged, folks, here. Because if you get judged here, it's paid for you. If you get judged there, you're going to pay it. Every nickel, every dime, if I could say it that way, that's just an illustration. Now, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation. They're not going to be there. I don't care who your family is. If they're lost, they're not going to be where you are. Jesus said it this way. Except you repent. You shall all likewise perish. And where I am, there you cannot come. Because you were in the wrong way. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When he says there's a way that seems right to you, and the end thereof is death, you know what that means? Exactly what it says. Exactly what it says. Now, so the next question would be, how do I get in the way? Look, if you will, at Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Oh, by the way, brand new. Brand new. I just started marking. You know, I marked some this week. I can't wait to get it all marked up like the other one was. Ezekiel. Now, it's a little harder for me here because, see, I don't have it all marked up like I had in my other one. But it'll work. All right, Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Verse 17. Now, keep in mind what we're talking about. We're talking about two ways, right? And you have to get out of the wrong way and get on the right way. So he says here, moreover, or 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their... In other words, they chose not my way. They chose to go their own way. Well, their way defiled. So he says, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Now, I'm going to give you a verse that will help you to understand that in the future. He says, for your righteousness is as filthy rags. So you know what he's talking about. And then it comes down to verse 21. But I have pity, talking about on them and on us. You know, we call it mercy. Here it's defined pity. It's the same thing. You know, if you don't pity somebody, you're not going to show them compassion and mercy, are you? No. And I have pity for them. Y'all are reading that, aren't you? Listen, he didn't say, I have pity on you. He said, no, what you were doing is defiling my name. You were ruining my name. So he says, I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Think about that the next time you do like me and act like the fool. You're hurting God's name. He won't like it. He don't like it with me, and I can guarantee you he won't like it with you either, because it's holy. And he says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not do this for... Now, how many times have I told y'all that? God didn't save you for your sake. God didn't save you for your benefit. God didn't die on Calvary for you and me in that sense. He did it for his own name. So he says, thus saith the Lord God, I do not do this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen where ye went. Verse 26. And a new heart also will I give you. What does that infer? Huh? Well, you've heard that old saying, out with the old and in with the... Why would you throw something old out that you've had for years that won't fit in the room you've got it in?
You're jumping off.
honey. I'm just playing with you. I'm just playing with you, sweetheart. He says, I will give you a new heart and a... You know what that's saying, don't you? I'm going to give you new desires and a new way of thinking. Why? Why? Because in the old way, in the wrong way, on the wrong road, on the wrong journey, your desires are all mixed up. They're messed up. Your thinking is not right. Listen, the repentance is this, a new way of thinking. You, in other words, when he says that they had their own way, remember, he says they talked about, you don't think they didn't think that was the right way, do you? I mean, Jewish people that are hooked up in Judaism, Catholic people that are hooked up in Catholicism, Baptist people that are hooked up in Baptist whatever. You don't think they're doing that because they think it's wrong, do you? They think they do that because they think it's right. But it's not. You say, Tom, I thought you was going to teach Romans. Oh, I'm teaching it. You wait till I get there, you'll see. So he says, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a heart, Doris, that delights in my word. I'm going to give you a new heart, Angie, that delights in my way. And Jimmy, I'm not just going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit or mind that doesn't think like it used to think, sinful things, but thinks about godly things. That's what salvation is. That's why he says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old is gone. Now you've got the new. And it's the new that desires the Word of God, the way of God, and the worship of God. And I would say to anyone without being apologetic at all, if that don't describe you, you better do what Paul said. Examine yourself. Because you see, it's not you that's doing it. Why is it that he does that, Bill? Why does he do that? Why wouldn't he just leave you like you are and say, now I've saved you. Good luck. Huh?
He left. He bought and paid for it.
Well, that's true, but that doesn't have anything to do with my question. But that's okay. Thank you for trying. How far down the way do you think you'd get on your own, Bill? You know yourself, son. I know myself. I know this flesh. How far do you think, blessed God, you get? How long do you think you get up of a morning, get this blessed book down, and say, oh, God, feed me today? How long do you think that'd be? That's why he says, I'm going to do this. This is my name's at stake. I'm going to make sure it's working. I'm not going to just give you a heart and say, I hope it keeps beating. I'm going to make sure it's beating. I'm going to give you a new one. And then he goes on to say, and I will take away the stony heart, the sinful heart, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. The word stony there means to build. So what? Here's what he's saying. I'm going to tear down what you've built. I'm going to build it myself. And he says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, a heart of obedience. You say, Tom, I'm not 100% obedient. Welcome to the I'm not 100% obedient club. But I'll tell you what you are 100%. A desire to. I don't mean to point at you. Listen, if you don't have 100% desire, you better do what Paul said. You better examine yourself. Because he says, I'll put that desire in there. I'll give you a heart of desire. I'll give you a new way of thinking. And if you're still thinking like your old way, you better check yourself. As our pastor sings a song, I believe, it ain't me or something like that. There's something inside me, but it ain't me or something like that. Okay, now here's what he says. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I tell you what, they better figure that out over there pretty quick. And these people in this country better figure that out pretty quick. They're going to bring judgment of God on this nation, folks. Remember who told you that on this Sunday morning. If they keep this up, now I don't know if you saw where the Hague Court, you know, the International Court, has now found Netanyahu guilty of war crimes. It's coming down, that's all I can tell you. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your father, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your... That's a pretty good statement from God, I'd say. Wouldn't you? And then verse 32. He repeats it again. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be built. Now look, if you will, very quickly. Acts. I'll tell you when I get there where it's at. Okay, Acts chapter 8. Just going to read a verse or two there and then moving on. Acts chapter, let's read the last of chapter 7. Last of verse, chapter 7. Verse 58. Or verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him, talking about Stephen now. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. They weren't calling upon God. Stephen was calling upon God. And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. Cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, stop right there. Did I not say just a moment ago that it is God that gives you a new heart and a new spirit, new desires and a new way of thinking? Well, if that doesn't remind you of something right there, I can't help you. Because there was another man that was hanging on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. Well, folks, if you don't think that's the same spirit in this man, I can't help you. Stephen didn't say that because he's something special. Stephen was able to say that as he died because he had a new heart and a new spirit. And it was the heart of Christ and the spirit of Christ. Because Paul said, know ye not that Christ dwelleth in you. That's the only way he could have done it, folks. It's the only way you and I can do it. Because then Stephen doesn't get any glory here. Who gets the glory? Well, the one that, whose spirit he was in. So he says, forgive them and lay not this sin to their charge. And then he fell asleep. Now, some would say, well, that means he died. I like fell asleep. Either way, he was gone. But you know what? Remember what I told you about asleep. It's only death if you can't awaken them. It's sleep if you can. Then he comes on over to verse 3. As for Saul, who they laid the coats at his feet. As for Saul, he made havoc of the... Why would he do that? He thought his way was right. He thought he was doing God's business. So what would he have to have? A new heart and a new spirit and a new way. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering to every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Verse 1 of chapter 9. And Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of... Well, he didn't say, he said this way. What way? Following Christ. He saw that as the wrong way. He wouldn't have done it if he didn't. Why would he think that was the wrong way? That's a question. Why would he think that's the wrong way? Well, that's true. But in the context of what we've been saying, he hadn't had a heart change. He hadn't had a spirit change. His thinking was wrong. His desires were wrong. He desired to do this because he thought he was doing it for God. So, I would say that takes a miracle to get somebody out of that, wouldn't you? Huh? I mean, I don't think you could go, what do they call that, where you go in and try to get people out of something? Intervention. Who said that? Intervention. I tell you, that's one of the smartest women I've ever met. And you know, you should know that, buddy. I didn't hear an amen. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired, I told you, his desires were wrong, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And we all know what transpired from there. As he's traveled to Damascus. Here's what happened to Paul on the way to Damascus. While Paul was in the way, he found the way that he might get into the right way. Or as he called it, this way. If you're in this way, you are a them, a they, and a there. Because this way leads to life everlasting. The other way leads to death and destruction. So Paul, on the way, he runs in to the way. And get back over here. And Saul, pardon me. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from. Well, you remember in Revelation it says there's no need for the sun or the moon there, for the Lamb is the light. And in John chapter 1, he says, He is the light that lighteth up everyone that cometh into the world. So he didn't just see a light, folks. He saw the light. The light. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? Oh, wait a minute. You persecute me. I thought you was just going up there and get them men and women that were in this way and persecuting them. Oh, no. This way is Christ, folks. If you're in the right way, you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're in the wrong way. I'd tell anybody, I don't care who they are, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are as lost as a ball in high weeds. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, he says, it's going to be hard for you to kick against the truth here, folks. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And you know, he was struck blind. God sent Ananias into the way that's called straight and to tell Paul. And the scales fell off, right? Well, let's see what happened in verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the... I'm going to tell you something. If you're in the right way, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, folks. It ain't no second working. You've got all of the Holy Ghost you'll ever have. Our problem is, we allow the flesh to get in the way, and we can't apply it. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway. And straightway. He preached Christ. What a transformation. From the wrong way to the right way. From the wrong desires to the right desires. From the wrong thinking to the right thinking. And none of it done for Paul's sake. All was done for his holy name's sake. He saved us for his sake. And just like Paul, somebody better keep eye on her. Just like Paul, you or I may not be called to preach, but we have been all, A-double-L, given the ministry of reconciliation, which is salvation. We are to go out and demonstrate to this world that change that came over us from one way to another way. Mm-hmm. A new desire, a new thinking, new actions, a new testimony. I'm done.